Dear fellow redeemed of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you might be wondering how we could cover this topic in one sermon. There's been so much written and said about how to use the Bible in the world that how could we possibly cover it in one message, let alone one day of study. There's perhaps no other more often asked question about the Christian faith than about the Bible itself. There are countless techniques, countless procedures and tips about how to properly read and understand the text. Every Christian denomination has its own particular way that it treats the Bible, and that kind of helps shape the different aspects of Christian denominations. Every individual Christian, to some degree, wrestles in his or her faith about how to use the Bible or what a particular passage means or what import it has on your life. There are many questions we could consider today in our study about the Bible. Questions like, what's the context? Is it historical narrative? Is it poetry? Is it prophecy? Is it apocalyptic literature? Is it allegory? It goes on and on. What is the meta-narrative? That's a fancy word nowadays for the overarching theme of the Bible. How does it all work together as one? We could talk about the struggle of understanding what the text meant for the original readers versus what it means for us today. Is it parallel? Is it different? Are there comparisons or contrasts? How about a question that comes up quite often? What translation of the Bible should you use? Does it matter? Is one reliable? Should I go with readability? Should I go with literal translation? What about all the so-called scholars of the world who have supposedly discredited the Bible's authority? What about that documentary on the History Channel that tells me that we've proven the Bible is just a man-made book like any other religious book? What do I do about that when it comes to my faith? How does that affect how I read my Bible? What can a pastor understand versus a regular church member? How should we understand that? How much should you trust what I say as opposed to what you'd use in your personal study? What about the so-called apocryphal books in the world, the Gospel of Thomas or the Wisdom of Solomon? What about those books? Why aren't they in the Bible? Why don't we use them? Maybe the biggest question of all is, how can I know that the Bible is relevant for my life? How can I really trust that something God recorded thousands of years ago really has value for me? How can it really apply to what I'm going through today? These are all valid, good questions to consider when we ask how to read the Bible. But we're not going to look at those today. Rather, today we're going to focus on one very important concept that governs all of these questions and many more like them. Ultimately, the best way to read your Bible is to do so in a way that honors God. All of our questions, all of the discussions about the text, all of the things that we can wonder and consider about, all of the opinions that you hear in the world about the Bible are ultimately going to be under this umbrella. Do you honor God or not? Your answer to that question is going to have a huge bearing on how you read the Bible. When it comes to honoring God, what we come to is one very important question. In fact, one of the first questions in the entire Bible. Did God really say? It's no mystery that Christians believe that the Bible is God's word. The Bible itself makes several claims, like we saw in one of our scripture readings, that this is God's inspired word. Did God really say that? Does God really mean that? Your answer to that question will have a big impact on whether or not you approach the Word with an intent to honor God, and consequently what you get out of your study of the Bible. That's why that's the very question that Satan posed to Eve in the garden at the very beginning, because he wanted to get her to doubt what God had said. Eve didn't have the Bible as you and I have it. Eve didn't have a book that she was carrying around in her hand, but God had spoken to her. God had given her His word. And Satan wanted to strike directly at how she would treat that. Did God really say? Can we really honor God? The same truth is present in our lives every time we approach the Bible. The best principle for reading the Bible is not something that's on a blog somewhere on the internet. It's not in a handout that I can give you. It's the simple fact of faith, honoring our Lord and Savior. That's where our text from God's Word today leads us. From Colossians chapter 3, we read verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In our era, we're told that we must sort of ride the fence between the Bible's reliability and the unknowns. We need to straddle that fence of biblical interpretation. Accept what can be known, but question and doubt what goes beyond your knowledge. In other words, sometimes it's posed this way, accept the gospel, accept the good parts of God's word, but not the law. At least not the laws that people don't like today. But when it comes to approaching the Word of God, it doesn't do us a lot of value to sit in the middle. You really have to choose a side. It's often what we discussed last weekend, the culture around us, that has a big impact on how we treat the Word of God. There's many things in our culture that lead people to deny the teaching that God gives us about His Word, what we call verbal inspiration. God lays out in His Word, as we saw from Paul's letter to Timothy, that He has recorded His Word by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that He used human writers to put down the very thoughts and words of God. And therefore, He wants us to recognize His Word as trustworthy in our lives. But the things around us will cast doubt on that. The various opinions and philosophies of the world will tell us that, well, you don't have to be in that camp where you believe every word of God. You can walk a middle ground. You can accept some things. You can do away with others. But that really makes no sense for our lives. And it's really hard to honor God if that's the approach we take. This doesn't mean that we have to have everything in the Bible figured out. No one does. The Bible is a lifelong learning process. It doesn't mean you can't have any questions about the Bible. It doesn't mean you can't challenge any preconceived ideas or interpretations about the Bible. Challenging us in our faith is one way that the truth comes out. It's one way that we learn and grow in our understanding. What we mean when we say you have to choose a side is when it comes to our approach to the Bible. How do we approach God? What is our attitude when we come before Him? Are all of our choices and activities around His Word centered on honoring and glorifying Him? Do you fully believe that God has delivered His Word to you? Do you believe that He means what He says in His Word? When you read the Bible, do you trust that the Holy Spirit will lead you to the correct meaning? Or do you try to shoehorn your own thoughts in there? All of these things go to our approach to the Word of God. And these monumental pieces are ultimately what line up whether or not we honor God in our use of His Word. Once you start choosing what to believe and what not to believe, once you start making those determinations on your own of what is really the Bible and what is not, you start to take God's place. If the Bible cannot be trusted in its entirety, then our faith is really a lost cause. If the Bible cannot be trusted as God has delivered it to us, then really we're wasting our time here gathering around that word. Yet that's the very thing that our world wants us to believe so often. It's those arguments that more and more people are telling us we need to accept as our own. We've heard the various lies before. You've heard them in your life about the reasons why you can't trust what the Bible says. The reasons why it's so incredibly complicated to read your Bible. People say, well, that's your interpretation, but there's so many other interpretations out there. You can't just hone in on one. People say, well, that's what it meant back then, but it doesn't mean that for your life. It's changed. People say, who can say what it really means? It's just up for each person to determine what's valuable for them. Anyone who reads their Bible with sincerity, anyone who opens up the Bible with fear of God and humility, will recognize that God everywhere speaks to how important it is to follow His Word. It doesn't matter what book you open up to. You can pick any section of the Bible and you won't have to read very long to find God talking about how important His Word is. And so if you approach that in faith, if you approach that with sincerity, you will not buy into that false belief that it's just a matter of interpretation or that you have to choose what's valuable for your life or you can't really trust God in all of these points for X number of reasons. In His Word, God makes it simple and clear. It's our own opinions, it's man's knowledge that makes it more complicated. Many people have given up on the idea that the Bible can be trusted or that they can actually understand it when they read it because they're so worried about these arguments. People are worried that, well, if the Bible can't be trusted, then I'm taking someone's opinion for it. I'm making decisions in my life not based on truth, but based on what other people think about what's right or wrong. Well, who wants to do something like that? Nobody, Christian or non-Christian, wants to live their life or believe what they believe based on someone's opinion of it. And that's the great fear that people have when approaching the Bible, when their immediate thought is, it's too hard for me to understand. There's too much going on here. Well, you're lost from the very beginning. But notice when we buy into that argument, a person falls into the very trap that they're worried about. Because if God's Word really is just a bunch of different opinions that you have to choose on your own, then you're already in that boat to begin with. If truth doesn't exist and God has not spoken as we believe and confess He has, then you really are up to your own decision. You really don't have a solid guide and rule for your life. Consider this example. Think of God's Word like the sun in the sky. None of us have ever touched or handled the sun. We see it there, but we can't really throw a lasso over it and pull it in close to us. You can't take a piece of the sun and put it in a jar. You can't put it under the microscope for observation. There's always going to be something about the sun that we just don't know or understand. We can only grasp so much knowledge about it. Yet despite these unknowns, the sun still works, right? The sun still provides life on Earth. The sun still does the same thing it's done well before we were here on Earth. You see, the work of the sun is not dependent upon our understanding of it or our ability to grasp it in every way that we would like to. Whether or not you're a little child or a scientist, the sun still works the same. It's the same with the Word of God. We don't always understand everything about God's Word. We don't always know in our minds and with our observation how God could do the things that He says He does. Consider what Jesus said to Nicodemus when Nicodemus came to Him at cover of night and Jesus preached some very difficult things for Nicodemus to hear, that you must be born again. And he was confused and perplexed at what Jesus said. And Jesus said this little passage to him. In John 3, verse 8, He says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Jesus was telling Nicodemus, when it comes to having faith, when it comes to being a believer, you won't know and understand everything right away. There are going to be things that defy observation. There are going to be things that go beyond your understanding. essentially, there are going to be things that you have to trust God on. There are going to be things in the Word that God tells you that you have to take Him at His word. It's like the wind. You see its effect, but you can't see the wind itself. You don't know when it's going to pick up or when it's going to leave, but you see what it has accomplished. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So, too, is our lesson in our lives with the Word of God. The Word of God has changed your life. Whether or not you fully understand how, whether or not you know what God has accomplished for you in all totality, He's still worked in your heart. He still brought you to faith. He has still used His word daily to bless your life. That's not invalidated because the word of God goes beyond our total comprehension. Whether or not we're observant to it, God's word works because the Holy Spirit works through it. In our other scripture reading for today, we saw another account from Jesus' life from the Gospel of John, which is very much along the same lines. People had questions about Jesus. People wondered, what gives Him the right to do these things, to speak with the authority that He does, to heal somebody on the Sabbath of all things? What gives Him the right to do that? And when Jesus spoke to them, He didn't come back to a principle of biblical interpretation. He didn't prove to them that He was understanding the Bible in the right way. Jesus came back to one thing. He said, "He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true." As God, Jesus could have just told the people, "Here's everything you need to know about the Bible. Here's all of the rules of interpretation that you should follow. Here's why you should believe, and let me persuade you of why I'm speaking the truth." But the one thing that Jesus said to them was, "Look at this. I am seeking to honor God." That was the ultimate proof that Jesus spoke the truth. That was the ultimate proof that Jesus understood the Word of God correctly, because He was honoring God in what He did. Everything that was spoken about Jesus in that lesson, even though He's God, everything that was spoken about it can also apply to your life. In that setting, Jesus was a mouthpiece for God. Jesus was speaking the word on God's behalf. You have the right and privilege to do the same thing as a child of God. As a believer, you are given the words of God to go and share with the world. Will you be challenged on that front? Absolutely. Will you have times of discouragement and perplexment about, well, what exactly does that mean and how should I approach that? All the time. But if you keep that one solid principle there in your heart by faith, of having the approach and the attitude to honor God, He will make the path clear. Many people assume that the reason we use the Word of God the way we do, the reason we hold the Word of God in such high esteem, is because we want to control people's lives. So many people have the mistaken notion that the Bible's there to give you laws and rules to follow, to keep you in line. And that's what it means to be a believer. In many times, we've probably given people that impression about our faith, and shame on us for having done so. May the Lord forgive us for such a false impression of His word. But the real reason we emphasize the purity and truth of God's word is not to give laws and commands, is not to have people live their lives the way we want them to. It's because it's through the word of God that salvation is delivered. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You don't understand everything, but the Holy Spirit is still working. And that's how He's come to our lives. The Holy Spirit has blessed us with faith through the word of God. Whether or not we confess that, or whether or not we look to some other reason like our choice or our works or our efforts, the Holy Spirit has still worked where every believer is present. If that's the way that God communicates salvation, if that's the way that sinners are saved, that's an important thing. We want to keep that pure. We want to use that word as God has delivered it, not for our own selfish motivations, not to get people to live how we think they should, but to deliver the pure, unadulterated gospel of salvation. That's why we use reliable Bible translations in our church work, in our Bible studies, in our worship services. We want the message to be clear and accurate. That's why we use hymns that communicate the solid truth of God's word, even if the music is outdated, even if the style is long gone. That's why our worship services are not designed to evoke emotion or to stir up energy in people, because we're here to approach the word of God with an attitude to listen and receive. We want the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, because in whatever we do in life, our goal is to have it done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to honor God in whatever activity you do, in whatever thought, word, or action comes across your day, that it's done in the name of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, the word of Christ will stay in your life richly, and God will bless that word with understanding. Reading your Bible is not a difficult thing. Knowing and understanding what God communicates is not a hard thing for the one who honors him. That's why Jesus said the greatest example of faith, the greatest example of spiritual knowledge, was a little child. As a close, consider these portions of Psalm 25. When you ponder the question, how do I read my Bible? Listen to what the psalmist says here. It's a good summary of our lesson for today. He starts out by saying, Lord, show me your paths, teach me your truth, lead me in that, for you are the God of my salvation. He goes on to say, God is with the upright. He teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. The humble he teaches. He continues to say, who is the one who fears the Lord? The Lord will show them the way that they should choose. And finally, he concludes by saying, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. How do you read your Bible? I could probably give you 15 different principles that are out there to help guide your way. But the best thing to know is to approach it to honor God, to approach it to the glory of your Savior, Jesus Christ. When you do that, the Word of Christ dwells in your heart richly. The Holy Spirit is there without your observation to bless and sustain your faith. And wherever the Word of God is there in that fashion, wherever it stays in its truth and purity, the gospel is alive and well. Sinners are saved, and God is honored. Let that be the way that we always approach the Word of God and use it in our lives, and to trust that he will bless us with understanding. Amen.